Hi, Tyler. Craig Moffett at Bernstein. A year ago, you took a pretty big price increase, but had a $10 promotion for most of the first part of the year. This year, no price increase, but you stopped discounting. Can you talk about, is that a sign that the consumer is weaker in your mind, or is that the consumer is stronger and it's simply a change in your messaging competitively?
It's a good question. First, let me just correct one thing. We don't have a price increase in our DVR pump digital advantage product. We do have a price increase if people just buy our top 100 or top 200. That should be in the press release. If it's not, it should be in there. But it's the average is about $2 for customers who aren't a DVR customer today. Although a lot of our customers are DVR customers. I personally don't like the discounting side of the business that much because I think ultimately what people are getting is once everybody starts doing it, you know, customer gets pretty savvy and say, well, I got a price today, and then price goes up and then they slip and switch back and forth. And so I think we're just trying to really simplify our business. I think we believe that the customer is a little smarter than some people do. The customer really gets it for the most part. They understand what a promotional offer is, and we really want to give somebody real value when they buy a product. And it gets confusing to customers when the bill changes, it drives calls, that drives costs. And so I think we look at our total operation of our company. We may be wrong on this, but it just makes a lot of sense to give people a great value every day, and they know where they stand. Imagine your electricity bill if you knew it was the same every month instead of going up and down and everything else. So I think people then trust you, and learn to trust you. They buy multiple products from you, and they can trust you to fight for them. But occasionally, you can't come to terms with the programmer. They trust you that you're going to get the price value, they trust your product's going to work, and you can innovate for it. And so those are long-term things that we'd like to accomplish at Dish Network. And I think we got away from that a little bit with some of the kind of crazy promotions we did. And they work, but they also have a downside when they come off. Yeah, right here.
Where do you think as far as your resale rate is at Fairwire and also rate credit stores in 700 megahertz?
We have currently resale agreements with Clearwire and WildBlue. We've been pretty active in selling WildBlue, and in fact, you know, along with others helped build some of their beams pretty quickly. So it's certainly a product that's sold pretty well. Clearwire is really still developing. There's a lot of software interface things that we had to do to start selling Clearwire on a broader basis, but we plan to do that. As far as 700 megahertz auction, we have put ourselves, the only way I say this, we have applied 700 megahertz auction, so we are in a position to participate should we so choose. And we typically have participated in auctions. Some we have successfully been bidder, some we've dropped out. You know, we'll look at that and see what people are doing in the auction and see whether it makes sense for us to participate or not, or what level we would participate.
Amy Thompson, Bloomberg News. In the third quarter conference call, you attributed the subscriber growth business some estimates to things like the company not operating efficiently and us not taking calls. So I was wondering if you could update what you're doing to correct
things. Yeah, it's a good question. In third quarter conference call, I certainly expressed my disappointment in our company as far as how we operate. I think that any time that economy slows down and therefore growth typically slows down, those things kind of come to the surface. And you don't always go out fixing those things when you're running 90 miles an hour, but when you get in those situations, really, really good companies have to operate really efficiently. And that means that we need to answer just a simple example. If you ever call Dish Network, we need to answer our phones within 30 seconds. We need to answer that with somebody who's a professional on the phone, who speaks good English, and can answer your question on the first call. And if you want us to go out and do a service call or go out and do an install, we need to show up in our window. We need to show up and make sure we make that service call and complete that service call. And we just don't do that as well as I would like to see us do that. There's really no excuse for us not being able to do that as long as we put our mind to be able to do those kind of things. So, operationally, I like to see, and if you don't do that, then obviously customers don't feel as good about your company as they should. And we're a company that typically has been number one in customer service, and we're more, some, depending on which survey you're looking at, we're 1, 2, or 30. And so we're used to being number one, and we certainly like to be at that level.
Hey, Charlie Scott from Satellite Guys US. Last May at the Team Summit Retailer Conference, you announced a new MPEG 4 service, and you also talked about it in the Consumer Chat. Is that still going to happen, or has that been pushed back?
We'll have more to talk about that later this year, but we are going to do an MPEG only service. We talked about it, you know, in terms of MPEG 4. Everything is broadcast in MPEG 4, and that is something that requires launch of new satellites. So to do that, I mean, those satellites got delayed, but as those satellites go up this year, those satellites will be only broadcast in MPEG 4. So everything we put up with new satellites will be in MPEG 4. So that'll happen. It's a little bit more. It's a little bit more long-winded answer than what I can tell you up here, but we still plan to do that. And we'll have a lot more than the Team Summit this year.
Ian Olkerson, SNLK. Can you talk a little bit about the roadmap for integrating IP for on-demand services as you sort of look forward and move that beyond a DVR delivery service?
Yeah. You see a key number of companies here. They made announcements from Netflix to Microsoft to Amazon.com where you can actually go to get video IP, and typically it's movies or TV shows. And all that makes a lot of sense. The problem is at some point you have to make money on that, and it does cost money to deliver those bits, through the broadband connection. So what we've done really the steps for us are make the product, the hardware, which we've done through EchoStar Corporation, to be able to handle it. So all of our VIP product can handle any kind of broadband download, and then we have to make sure we have the programming contract with the content provider so that both the consumer and the content provider has a fair product. And then the technical solution is to make sure we can transmit that in a pretty economical way and an operating system that you can understand as a consumer on a remote control. So all those things, we see that as a valid business, as a big business going forward. I would say it this way. I believe that what almost everybody in this room would want in their household is the next TV set you buy will probably be a flat screen TV. It will probably be an HDTV set. You probably want to hook a device to that gives you both regular TV and HDTV. You probably want to get terrestrial HDTV as well, perhaps. You're going to want a broadband connection to that, so you're going to want to be able to get things. You're going to be able to want to watch things like YouTube that are video-centric on the internet, and you're also going to want to go order movies or TV shows that you missed. So how do you do that? And who's got that box out there? How much does it cost? And so that's a great opportunity for EchoStar Corporation to go out and be a player in that realm. And Sling technology is one piece of that, because once you do that, you also want to be able to do that no matter where you are.
How about the opportunity for Dish?
Dish is in a good spot too, because it has the ability to broadcast a couple thousand channels to that set-top box before it starts, without anybody else's help. Right, so Dish Network can be a player in that. And again, our partnership with AT&T allows us to do some things on the broadband side.
Kevin,
good morning, Charlie. Robert Hennepin, Satellite Guys at US. Will we see Dish Network listing MPEG 2 HD offerings move to MPEG 4 in 2008?
Yes. Yeah, so all of our MPEG, and again, I can't give you a timeline on that, but with the launch of new satellites, as we go to MPEG 4, but we will go out and move our product to MPEG 2. If those customers have an MPEG 2 product, we'll upgrade to MPEG 4. So it probably be the latter half of the year, would be my guess, but I don't have a time frame for it. Exact time frame. And we're trying to do those kind of things in the summer, when it's summer and you have a chance to go out there and really have a longer day to go talk to your customers and make sure you can upgrade them correctly. But all of our HD product will be in MPEG 4 in 2008. At least that's the goal.